For those of you out there who are wondering what exactly a 10 is in terms of a sports story, well, you judge a sports investigative report if you judged it on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the least impactful and 10 being the most. Obviously, the 10 would be a bombshell and would probably sink a college football program or have a great effect anyway. Well, Charles Robinson has been teasing for a while that he had a 10 in the works. Charles Robinson, of course, works for Yahoo Sports, is one of the finest investigative reporters in America, mainly deals with college sports, used to write about NFL, now mainly deals with college sports. He wrote a story a couple of days ago that qualifies, in my mind, as a 10 plus in terms of magnitude. It deals with a corrupt booster at Miami named Nevin Shapiro, who has been involved with illegal activity and is, in fact, in jail right now for running a Ponzi scheme. But the level of corruption that was outlined in Robinson's story is absolutely shocking. The illicit details that were provided by Charles Robinson in this investigative report, and if you have not had a chance to look at it, please do so. You can go to yahoosports.com, or you can look at any major college football writer's Twitter feed over the last couple days, and I'm sure you will find it there. But not only that, there are numerous players and coaches and staff members involved in this scandal that is far-reaching, and this is not just about payment of players, although that is a part of it. It's also about free this given to a player, free that given to a player by Nevin Shapiro, and the athletic administration at Miami willfully disregarded it. And you can find, by the way, every single allegation against every single individual in this case listed on yahoosports.com, the page that, if you go to the story, the initial story by Charles Robinson, you can find them on the sidebar there, which really illustrates what an incredible job this was by Charles Robinson, who, like I said earlier, is one of the finest investigative reporters in the business. But this, no doubt, puts a hole in the Miami football well, it puts a hole in the Miami athletic program, but starting with the football program, there are pictures of Nevin Shapiro there's a picture right here on the front of the article with Nevin Shapiro standing alongside Frank Haith, who was the basketball coach at Miami at that time. He now coaches hoops for the University of Missouri. Also standing next to him is Miami president Donna Shalala. Now, you can't draw any conclusions by pictures, but when you have pictures of boosters who turn out to be as rogue as Mr. Shapiro turned out to be standing next to presidents, it certainly doesn't bode well for the program. So anyway, welcome into the program. My name is Jacob Bunn. The Bunn Sports Show here, bunsports.com. If you want to get involved, you can certainly do so. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/bunsports. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/bunsports. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/jacobbunn. And if you would like to email me, you can do so at sportsbunn@gmail.com. That's sportsbun, not bun sports, but sportsbun@gmail.com. How hard will the NCAA hit Miami when this is all thoroughly investigated? All of the facts are known by the NCAA anyway, and the hearings are had. Is there a chance that the death penalty? It's hard to even say. I mean, you feel like such a gravity with that phrase. But it may be applicable in this case. Is there a chance that the death penalty could be a part of the sanctions handed down to Miami. Well, I personally don't think anything's off the table, because when you start unwinding a mess like the one that you have at Miami right now, when you start untangling this web, you'll find more and more stuff, more than likely. Now, is Nevin Shapiro credible? That's a question that a lot... He's sitting in jail right now for running a Ponzi scheme. A lot of people say he's disgruntled and all this. But when you look back at some of the biggest scandals in college football, or in life, I mean, the Enron scandal as far as business, big business, SMU, if you want to look at college football, disgruntled people are the ones who roll, and they're the ones who give out the information. So you can't really discredit people who may have an axe to grind that much. Now, I understand that I doubt that everything that Nevin Shapiro said is 100% gospel truth, but he did give a very detailed illustration, outline of what was going on. I mean, you have, and I'm just eyeing it here, well over 50 players, with each having their individual allegations listed against them. Guys like Frank Gore, Kellen Winslow, names that you would know that played at Miami, players that played other places, Orson Charles, Bernard Thomas, Andre DeBose, Bryce Brown. So it wasn't just Miami players or players that played at Miami. I mean, there are players who played at other schools who were also connected to this, as well as coaches who coached at other schools. Yes, that includes Jeff Stoutland and Joe Panunzio. Those are two names that if I walk down the street, well, down the interstate several miles, they would be really common names, because they're both on staff, at the University of Alabama right now. Jeff Stoutland is the offensive line coach, and Joe Panunzio is the director of football operations. So we'll get into the Alabama angle in a few minutes. But you also have basketball coaches. Frank Hay, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, he was the coach at Miami. He now coaches at the University of Missouri, taking over, of course, for Mike Anderson, who is now at Arkansas. So this really reaches, this scandal, it is a huge, huge thing in college football and college athletics, and it has so many tentacles impacting so many individuals. And as a patron and student of journalism, investigative journalism as a whole, I have to say that Yahoo, led by Charles Robinson, has blown or hit this one way out of the park. I mean, they have every allegation listed for every individual. It was an incredibly thorough and properly done job. That is how students out there who are studying investigative journalism, you can argue, quibble over whether or not Nevin Shapiro is credible, but that's not Charles Robinson's concern. I mean, it is a concern to a degree. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you don't put a guy who you know is a liar out there. If you have a guy like Nevin Shapiro who's willing to talk, who you know is involved in a lot of this stuff, and you can corroborate a lot of it, which I have to give Charles Robinson credit, he did corroborate a lot of it. If you can corroborate as much as he did, then I'd say it's a pretty credible story anyway. That's textbook investigative journalism. That is something you can teach from. And, you know, I just think in this day and age in college football, of course, you had the other investigative story about Ohio State that was very well done in and of itself, but it didn't even touch the level of this story. And when you talk about a 10, this is a 10. There's no mistaking a 10. And a 10, I've always said, as kind of a rule of thumb, you know, you can call a 10 is more or less, calling a story a 10 out of 10 is just more or less for entertainment value and than it is actuality. There's no real measuring stick of a story other than just a subjective thought. But I've always said, as rule of thumb, to judge a story like this, an investigative report in college sports, how it's as big as how many programs it touches. And this story clearly touches more programs than just Miami. Now, I mentioned the Alabama angle a minute ago. Let's get into that for just a few minutes. Among the list of allegations against former coaches Joe Panunzio and against Joe Panunzio and Jeff Stoutland. Now, Panunzio is the director of football operations, and Jeff Stoutland is the offensive line coach. Now, this does not mean that Alabama necessarily has done anything wrong. I mean, in this case, Alabama's done nothing wrong. If they had anything against them, it would be at Miami. Now, from a PR standpoint and just an overall grease on the program standpoint, you can question whether these guys really need to be in the organization. Now, I'm not going to sit here and make judgments about people's jobs. One has to remember, these are not recruits. These are not college athletes we're talking about. These are coaches. Therefore, they're grown men with positions here. So this is all through human resources, and there are a ton of legalities that go into this as well. So for all these people out there who are saying Nick Saban should get up there and say both of these guys are gone immediately, well, that's not even lawful. You can't do that. But you do have to check into this if you're Alabama. And the NCAA is conducting an investigation, and I'm sure anything the NCAA finds, they will turn over to Alabama. There are reports out there that say that okay, but let me just bring it up, call it up here. Bear with me as I okay, this is from the Press Telegram in Long Beach, California. The president of Long Beach State University, F. King Alexander. Let me just read you part of the article here. In August of 2007, three Long Beach State administrators, President F. King Alexander, Athletic Director Fick Siegels, and Vice President of Student Affairs Doug Robinson, were grilled for 13 half hours by members of the NCAA Infractions Committee in Indianapolis. It goes down to say King talked about Paul D. and talks about how the hypocrisy of the NCAA makes him sick, especially, of course, referring to Paul D. But he also had some interesting comments about the football coach. Now, you must know that Mr. Alexander was president of Murray State University. He said this, quote, Alexander did, "You must understand that in 2005, when I was president at Murray State, I fired our football coach, Joe Panunzio, because of numerous incidents that occurred in our program under him that were quite bad. Now take that for what it's worth, but that was the former president of Murray State University talking about former football coach who was under him, Joe Panunzio, who is now the director of football operations at Alabama. And he said that there were a number of incidents that occurred under him in the program at that time that were quite bad. A lot of people believe Joe Panunzio is really not looking too well in this situation. Now you say, obviously, you're not looking well if you're connected to this story in any way, and that's true. However, Jeff Stoutland, who is the offensive line coach at Alabama, who is also connected to this, mentioned in this story, this is a report from NBC Miami. This is the affiliate in Miami, and it talked about Jeff Stoutland. It said, former assistant coach Jeff Stoutland, also now at the University of Alabama, was named in the report, but a source tells NBC Miami Stoutland was, and this is a quote, as clean as they come. So if you're looking at it from an Alabama perspective, you can obviously see that Jeff Stoutland the allegations against him and what has been speculated about how bad or how much those allegations will affect him, obviously it doesn't really look like it's going to be impending doom for him. But if you look at, on the other hand, Mr. Panunzio, things are not quite as rosy. And a lot of questions right now are being asked. And I think the number one question is, how much longer will Joe Panunzio be the director of football operations at the University of Alabama? That is certainly a position you don't want to have someone who is directly implicated in a massive cheating scandal overseeing. And it just does not pass the smell test. So obviously Alabama may have some house cleaning to do. And all these allegations by Charles Robinson were corroborated by other people, and I know I've mentioned that once, but I'm just reading over these allegations one by one. It just absolutely astounds me at how well done this piece of investigative journalism is. So anyway, that is what is going on that front. A couple of other news items to pass along. It was reported last night. It was reported today, rather, that last night in a Baton Rouge bar, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, LSU quarterback Jordan Jefferson was involved in a fight at a bar. Now, this was reported by WBRZ.com in Baton Rouge. Police investigating a fight outside a Baton Rouge bar last night said LSU quarterback Jordan Jefferson and other LSU football players are believed to have been involved in a disturbance. EMS responded to a call at the location on East Boyd Avenue around 2 a.m., but did not transport anyone to the hospital. We are aware of the incident that took place at an off-campus location at which some of our players were present. We didn't know to what extent our players were involved. We are trying to gather as much information as possible to get a better understanding of what exactly took place last night. That is your predictable quote from LSU head coach Les Miles. Not that we can really decipher anything from that quote, but that's what he had to say about it. Will it impact anything at LSU? Who knows? This is obviously an early stage story right now. We don't know whether it will affect Jefferson's status for the Oregon game or any other game, any other games in the future. But it's certainly not something you want to see pop up if you're an LSU fan. I think the LSU contingent of coaches, people around the program, are very happy with the progress Jordan Jefferson has made, and he's beaten out Jarrett Lee and Zach Mettenberger for the position of starting quarterback to this point. You really don't want to see him go down in an off-the-field incident and not even be able to play in the opener, which is a big opener. A lot of BCS implications on the line when LSU plays Oregon on September 3rd in Dallas, Texas. Yesterday, the New York Times, under the byline of Pete Thamel, ran a story that reported that the NCAA vice president of enforcement, Julie Rowe Lash, I believe we've heard her name come up in relative stories before. I believe Gene Chizik probably knows who she is. For those of you who are unaware of what I'm talking about, she is the one who told Gene Chizik, reportedly, corroborated by four SEC basketball coaches, she told Gene Chizik at the SEC spring meetings in Destin, Florida, when he asked her why the investigation into Auburn's program was taking so long, she told him that the investigation was not over, and that when it became concluded, she would let him know. Well, Pete Thamel quotes her as saying that Miami will probably not get the death penalty, and the article also says that they may not even get a television ban. How about that? But the NCAA, going true to form to its weak look right now. I mean, the NCAA has really looked pathetic in recent months. Looks like it's a lot of talk coming from President Mark Emmert, but not much action to this point. But they don't even, they obviously aren't even on the same page, because yesterday Mark Emmert said that the death penalty option as a punishment for the U is not off the table. So obviously Vice President of Enforcement Ms. Rolash and President of the NCAA Mark Emmert are not on the same page. This is really becoming a soap opera around the NCAA. And they need to get their act together, because this is an unbelievable scandal that has just been uncovered at the University of Miami. You have Ohio State with all that went on with Jim Tressel. They did not get failure to monitor. They did not get lack of institutional control. Now, don't think that the NCAA still can't hammer them. They certainly can. Just because they didn't receive those charges by name does not mean that they cannot get a very severe punishment, and they very well could. In fact, if you want my opinion, and that's all it is, I expect them to be punished rather harshly for what they have done, having a coach who knew about it and then tried to cover it up. But they still haven't done anything to Ohio State, and here we've just uncovered this unbelievable scandal at Miami. You have all the agent situations going on. Willie Lyles is traveling around the country saying things about this program and that. We already know about his involvement with Oregon. Ongoing probe into Auburn. Tennessee is up for their hearing in front of the NCAA, or ready to be sentenced coming soon. So when is the NCAA going to say, hey, you know what? We need to get serious about this. When is Mark Emmert going to take that initiative? And not even being on the same page with his vice president of enforcement, Ms. Rolash, is not a step in the right direction at all. Will Miami get the death penalty? I don't think so. That's just an opinion right now. As I said earlier, things can fall out of the closet that implicate even more wrongdoing at the U. But I don't think they're going to get the death penalty. Do you? Should they get the death penalty, you ask me? Well, it's hard to say. It's a difficult question to answer. I tend to want to say no, because when you give a program the death penalty, you are really hurting a lot of people. It's not just the administrators and the rogue boosters that you're hurting, and you want to hurt those people who've done wrong, but you're also hurting the fans and the television people, television companies who televise the games. You're hurting all those people, and you have to think before you do something rash like that. And I know the NCAA will think before they give anybody the death penalty. It hasn't been done since the 80s when Southern Methodist received that punishment. So I tend to say no. I would personally not like to see the death penalty given out to another school. I really don't care how rogue it is. You can cripple a program all you want. You can... And by the way, it wouldn't take much to cripple Miami. They are a private institution as opposed to a public, which means that monetarily they can probably be impacted by a slight punishment a whole lot more than a big institution, public institution like Ohio State, Alabama, Texas, Florida would be. Miami, a little bit more fragile when it comes to revenue. They already have problems selling out their stadium. We made so many jokes about how Miami does not draw much more than UAB at their football games, and obviously that's in jest, but if they get hammered by the NCAA, it may turn out to be true. So I think you have to weigh it very carefully and what kind of punishment you give them, and I do think you have to take into consideration the fact that they are a private institution and not a public institution, that they don't have access to the same economic advantages that other schools do when you decide to give out their punishment. A death penalty is not what the NCAA needs to give Miami at all, in my opinion. Now, I think that what they have done is far worse than possibly has ever been done in college football, or at least that it's ever come to the surface, come to the light of day. But all universities are not created equal, and the University of Miami needs to be treated as it is. It's not a big-time institution. It can't sustain punishments. I mean, the death penalty would kill Miami football forever. And if you gave it several scholarships and probation, I mean, that would hinder it right there. That would hinder it to the point to where it may drop down to not even on the same plane as any other BCS school, or below BCS, you know, the low. I mean, you have, even in BCS conferences, you have your Dukes, your Syracuse, Vanderbilt. Well, I think Miami would be down there even lower than them if they got significant punishments. It would cripple their football program forever. But, I mean, for a long time. But it would cripple it forever if you gave them the death penalty. I don't think they could ever recover from that. Look at SMU. They have still not recovered from the death penalty over 20 years later. So that's my feeling on that. But I do think the NCAA ought to get on the same page about what they're going to do to them, because eventually that decision is going to have to be made. And right now the NCAA looks like a hypocritical organization, and we've always said that the NCAA just makes it up as they go along, and that's true. It seems that way. But that is even more apparent in recent days and months. The NCAA is going to have to stop. Mark Emmert's going to have to stop finding every podium to say, we have got to get tough. And he's got to start letting his actions know it. Now, at the same time, Mark Emmert does not control what enforcement does. He doesn't hand out penalties and all this kind of stuff, but he oversees the organization. He's the spokesperson. He's the guy who everybody quotes when they talk about the NCAA. So he's got to know what he's doing here. He's got to do it. He's got to get things in order, and it starts with him. And I think we need less press conferences and more actual results. And plus, the NCAA process is out of date. Most of the rules are out of date. Could the NCAA be coming to an end? I think that is a possibility. Anyway, we've talked a lot about conference expansion. Didn't get a chance to go into it much today, but we will discuss that at a later date. Conference expansion is alive and well. Don't mistake that at all. If you think conference expansion talks are dead, think again, because they still are out there, and I think we will hear more from them in the future, but probably not until this season is at least well underway, if not over, because I think the season is on deck next, so to speak, as far as the big story. Although there could be another bombshell like the one that we saw this week in Miami. There could be another one of those on the horizon. Who knows? A lot of programs under investigation right now. Some programs not under investigation, that a lot of people think there is some rogue activity that is to be uncovered. I don't know. Thank you for spending a half hour with me. I hope you have a great weekend. We will return next week. A lot more college football discussion will take place then. Until then, stay safe. Everyone have a great weekend.